Good morning, sunshine.
Hey, good morning, Charisse.
Hello.
What's going on?
I have been studying happiness this morning.
Whoa.
I know. It's a happy topic to study, apparently. You know, I have a commitment these days to use LinkedIn more, and I'm making posts every day on LinkedIn. I have a 30-day in a row LinkedIn posting goal.
Right. Yeah.
And so I'm looking. I'm thoughtful ahead of time. Excuse the beautiful children who are in the coffee shop next door. We love children. Just, bless them.
They're just being happy.
They're being happy, which is exactly the point, right? So today's post on LinkedIn is about happiness and about how I believe happiness is innate and our well-being is in there all the time. And even though we throw a lot of things on top of it, like fear and, you know, we talk about the upward spiral being the place where we, you know, we go up the consciousness ladder and become happy. And then the, you know, the downward spiral is the opposite, of course. So I've just been thinking a lot about happiness. And years ago, I first read the literature on positive psychology started by Martin Seligman. And I was, this morning I was thinking, I wonder what's happened since then. Cause that's been 10 years ago that I really dug into it. And of course now I have another program called Be Wildly Happy. And so it's important that I get up to speed, right? So I'm looking at some TED videos around what's happening in positive psychology today, and it's super fascinating. And it all stems from, you know, what our brains are wired for, which, I love brain science. So the question of the day for me is, what is your experience with happiness? What makes you happy and what takes you down the spiral?
Wow.
We don't prepare for these things, obviously. So. David's shocked that long pregnant pause.
No, it's great because, you know, once again, as often in these conversations, I think, that's sort of the question sort of blindsided me, but only for about a nanosecond. Because actually, you know, one of the answers to that question, you know, Kerry, my wife and I had an experience of last night. We went down to Boulder. My middle son, Sam, was competing in a Chinese speech, give your speech in Chinese contest, because he's a minor in Chinese at CU. And so we watched, you know, 24 students give these 5-minute talks in Chinese.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. Yeah, so maybe a topic for another conversation as well, maybe, because it was absolutely fascinating. It ought to have been the most boring thing in the world when you can't understand a word of what's being said, but it was absolutely exhilarating. But anyway, and so we'll talk about that another day. But the, you know, Kerry and I were just aglow in the car on the way home from having watched Sam, you know, a human being that we had had a large part of bringing into this world, doing his thing, and he himself being happy. And then of course we had Alex in the back of the car as well. We'd just done his parent teacher conference as well, and had a really good parent teacher conference. And so that, you know, that sense of pride, that sense of you know, just so in love with those kids. So that's one, you know, that's an answer.
Yes, and the answer, the root of that answer is love.
Yes.
So you're in love. You're in love with your life. You're in love with your wife. You're in love with your boys, and you're in love with what you've created together to make it possible for them to thrive.
Yeah, and I think actually that is the you know, behind or deeper down behind the fact that we love our children. Yeah. It makes us happy to be with our children. Yeah. I think deep down, the true happiness for me arises when I realize just how spectacular it is to be alive.
Yeah, and that's that is closer to innate well-being than the outward circumstances that happen, which we think will make us happy. You know, and I think we get caught up sometimes in the circumstantial happiness that we do or don't have, when in fact life is a miracle. It is a doggone miracle. It is a miracle. Mm-hmm. Every day we get to walk around this planet and we get to have relationships. We get to engage. We get to eat beautiful food. We have legs that walk, most of us. And if we don't, we have this beautiful brain, which has tripled in size since our origin. I was just... tripled in size. And what that does for us, a triple-sized brain, you would think that, you know, it's possible that it would just be bigger, but it isn't. It actually increases the number of functions we can do. And, you know, there is no other species that we know of there probably are other species that we don't know of, but that's also another conversation. but we have a lot of brain power, and within that hurts us and helps us, right? Because the amygdala, where the fear lives, that doesn't necessarily help us so much now. It used to help us stay safe, but we don't quite need so much of that safety anymore. So in my post today, I was reflecting on my grandson, Rowan, who has just turned 2 months old. And we spent several days with him last week. And it's just amazing to watch a baby. It's been my son is 31, so it's been some time. But, if he's fed and if he's artfully burped and if his diaper is dry, he smiles from his toes all the way up through his heart and through his eyes and through his lips. I mean, he has whole body smiles, and that's because he hasn't learned anything to be afraid of yet. he's just being taken care of, and all he has to do is look around and start to, you know, the older he gets, the sharper his vision gets, so he can see across the room and he can see the fan that twirls above him, which my son and daughter-in-law have named Frank, because he's always fascinated by the fan, Frank. my kids are geeks, okay? So
that's all right. We should name our objects.
Yes, but the point of that is that's how it's proven to me that it's innate, because he only cries when there's something, you know, physically ailing him.
Yes.
And there's no, you know, they have a dog that barks. He doesn't even jump when the dog barks. It's not like he has any... I haven't noticed any shred of fear whatsoever yet in this 2-month-old beautiful boy. And so it reminds me that, you know, we learn the fear. We learn the things that get layered on top of our innate well-being. And that's where we live sometimes, because we don't know that we accepted that in. We think that's natural and it isn't.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I'm just thinking that even the crying baby... The crying is a request for help. It's not a protest against life.
Absolutely.
It doesn't suddenly click. Because I was just thinking of it, you know, it's just thinking of Rowan there, you know, on his back, staring up, smiling. You know, inside there's a consciousness going, whoa, this is really cool.
Super cool. What a miracle this is. I used to see nothing in the womb. It was so dark. And now I get to see all these bright, shiny things. And you know, he also is starting to be a little more mobile. So he lays on his back and he kicks, and they have this little toy. When he kicks the outside edge of it, it makes the whole mobile that's on above his head, which is an elephant, it makes it shake. And so he even had the wherewithal to realize when he had gotten not in a great place to knock against it to make it shake, and that's when he would cry. He'd be like, oh, you took my thing away that I was so happy about. so that's here, right. I'm going to cry because I want you to move me so I can kick that thing again, so I can make the elephant that's shake, right. Which is just like, it's such a beautiful study in humanity for me. It's just so beautiful.
Well, I think what's going on there is the baby cries as a request for help. Move me back over there so I can do that thing that was so much fun. Or I have this sensation which I don't like. Can you sort out what it is, right, please? It's a request for help. That's how we deal with the absence of happiness as a baby.
Ah.
When we grow up, when we suddenly realize we're not happy, we blame life for being there. When we could just ask for help.
Oh my gosh, that is the best thing that could come from this morning's conversation, right there, David. Yes, it's a request. It is a request, and you know, I think people become victims to it because they don't ask for help, and they don't understand that it can be helped, and they think it's just the way it is. It's that, you know, life sucks and then you die. How many times have you heard that?
That's right.
So, you know, this is my blue sky thinking. I don't think life sucks. I think things in life can suck. I think we can have we can have things happen that are not happy, and we deal with that whatever way we deal with it. But underneath that thing, underneath the circumstance, underneath the emotions that are not happy, is this river of well-being that's always there waiting for us to return to it. And for me, that is just a beautiful, comforting, peaceful way to think of it. Whether it's true or not, you know, we make it all up anyway. So I'm making that up, that there is this well of happiness running through me that was with me when I was born and I came equipped. It is my default equipment. And it's always there for me, no matter the circumstances of my life. And sometimes I, too, need help accessing it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, it occurs to me as well that I'm not a meditator, but the limited experiences I've had being in meditation with others, and when we get to coming out of the meditation and opening our eyes, the majority of people are smiling.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking that sort of wellspring of well-being, that innate well-being, is not actually just a way of thinking about things. It's the direct experience. When you get to that place of closing down the mind and all its stories and blame and reasons and stuff like that. You'll see in open space. At the end of open space, people are smiling because we've got to a place of pure...
Well, and also it's contagious. So when I had my head above Rowan's head and I'm smiling in him and I'm talking and you know, that embarrassing baby voice we all get when we're talking to a baby, he does that full body smile. And there is no way in hell I'm not going to be grinning ear to ear, full body happiness myself, because fills a person up when you witness that in a baby. I dare you to be with a baby a smiling baby for 2 minutes and not be filled with happiness. And that's, for me, that's proof that it is always there waiting, because it doesn't take much. It takes a smiling baby to say, oh my goodness, yes. And I think probably I'm remembering myself as a baby, like, oh yeah, that's right, that was before I worried about the mortgage and people liking me and what am I going to do today, and you know, like, I didn't have anything else except happiness to dwell on.
Absolutely. Well, look, I mean, I'm about to go into this workshop for a couple of hours, so I need to close in a minute, but I'm going to show up like a smiling baby. And I'm going to try my best to trigger the smiling baby inside them, because almost certainly
there might be some
could
be some conflict that you're walking into, right? So be the smile, David. Be happy.
I'm going to be the smile.
All right.
Be happy. Be wildly happy.
Be wildly happy. Beautiful. Well, good luck. And I will speak with you tomorrow, David.
Thank you, Cherise. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.